Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. We're at a new location on what is a beautiful day here in Charlotte because we just wrapped up watching match day one. Premier League Soccer is back, and our soccer soul feels great here in the French Quarter at Belfast.
We're in the heart of the soccer soul of the city. We're in the French Quarter. How have we never recorded at Belfast Mill, by the way, Johnny? That's the question I'm asking myself
now. We are right now.
Yeah. We're feeling very Irish today. Johnny's drinking a Guinness. I'm drinking a Smittix.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing. It reminds me of about 13 months ago this time. I was drinking Smittix in Ireland. I can only think about my memories of throwing down red ales in Kildare, in Galway, in Doolin, in Dublin, all over the fucking Emerald Isle. I was drinking red ales, and now I'm doing it again, and it feels pretty damn good.
Cheers.
Oh, baby. It goes down so nice. It goes down so nice.
So the first segment on today's show is going to be, what does Calvin Stengs add to this Charlotte FC attack?
Oh, that was last show. Yeah.
Calvin Stengs is not coming to Charlotte FC. The transfer falls through. The Miguel Almiron negotiations implode.
Yeah.
And we're going to ask if some finger-pointing should happen, okay?
Well, first thing I'm going to do, Johnny, is point the finger at myself. Because in our most recent episode before this one, we had a beautiful time over at Rhino Mart in South Park. Had a great night.
Rhino Market.
Whatever. Rhino Market. I have this thing also where I always call South Boulevard, I call it South Drive. My girlfriend makes fun of me. She's like, why do you always say South Drive and South Boulevard? I'm like, I don't know. I'm a weirdo. But Rhino Market was a great location for us to wax poetically about what Calvin Stengs will bring to the club. The problem is we didn't bring Calvin Stengs to the club. And we did the fatal flaw, and I'll take the full blame for it, which, because you were...
I warned against this. Yes.
You tried to prevent me from doing this, and I stabbed myself in the chest anyway. I started talking about the transfer as if it had happened when it was not official. And literally, it was the fastest that a Charlotte Soccer Show episode ever became, like, completely outdated. Because within hours of us recording, the Calvin Stengs transfer fell through, and he was not coming. It was absolutely brutal. But we said some beautiful things on that episode.
Is Pep Biel...
Who?
...a real person? We're going to talk about Charlotte FC's new loan signing.
Yeah, our new loan DP. Is it a good thing or a bad thing to have a loan DP? I don't know. There's pros and cons.
Well, it's a four-month work permit, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
This loan literally ends in 4 months.
Yeah. Or it gets extended. Who knows?
We're gonna get into that as well. The League's Cup continues to roll on. Is anyone watching League's Cup? I am not convinced that people are, but I'll selfishly say that it's good to see that Jim Curtin has got Philadelphia Union turned around. And I bring that up just to kind of remind you that I mentioned Philadelphia as a team that could potentially leapfrog Charlotte in the run-in. And they're playing very good football. They win the League's Cup group. They're into the semifinals.
I don't have the exact date, but it was about 2 months ago that Philly was dead last in the East, and all of a sudden they are semifinalists in League's Cup and a potential threat to still make the playoffs. Jim Curtin, one of the best managers in MLS, has been for a long time. I got to say, I'm pulling for Philly to win League's Cup. If Charlotte can't win it, why not Philly? You know, I like the team. I like the squad. Why not? And they've turned things around. They're playing good football right now. And the way that they were able to handle Charlotte FC, sadly, in the League's Cup group stage, is just evidence of the way that they really revitalized their whole season.
It is match week, by the way. Charlotte FC and New York Red Bulls
now
will kick off Saturday night at Bank of America Stadium.
Remind me, John, because it's been a while. What is a match week again? I'm forgetting.
A league game will be played. An MLS league game will be played on Saturday in town. It's been
amazing.
A while.
Against the hated New York Red Bulls.
Big match.
Tim Ream's former club.
Will he get the start? We'll discuss that. And
I hope not, to be honest.
I like the question here that you laid out as far as 9 games remaining, 27 points available. How many points out of 27?
I'm going to need a number from you at some point before this episode ends.
Well, I can certainly pick one between 1, well, I guess 0. But that's not a positive. I could pick one between 0 and 27, I promise you that. And then finally, we're going to celebrate the Carolina Ascents debut. It's launched, the USL Super League's launch. Saturday night, Philip Poole leads the Ascent to a 1-0 victory.
Yeah.
An amazing moment. 10,000-plus fans at Memorial Stadium.
Sold-out crowd. Biggest crowd in Memorial Stadium in decades, probably. Since the remodel.
Massive crowd for women's soccer. And this soccer city should be proud. Another match Sunday for the Carolina Ascent.
And I look forward to talking some Ascent in a little bit here later in the episode. But let me just say, like, it's amazing how people are like, will anyone show up for women's soccer? Fuck yeah, they will. Women's soccer is a fucking great sport. It's soccer. It's not women's soccer versus men's soccer. Fuck that. It's soccer. You know, like, let's talk about human soccer at this point. And I love everything that happened on Saturday night. Tricky Vicky, the first ever signing in Ascent history, scores the goal. Allow me to quote the Kinks when I say, Victoria! 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 Great song. If you haven't heard it, listen.
You couldn't have scripted it any better. You say Tricky Vicky, that's her Instagram handle.
Right.
It's Vicky Bruce, the team's first signing, scores the first goal. It's a really nice goal.
Yeah.
And this team is off and running.
Yeah.
Excited to talk about that. But we're here to discuss the fact that the end of the MLS transfer window has come and it's gone.
Yeah.
And Charlotte FC, after a busy final week, has ultimately ended up with a player from Olympiakos in Greece, Pep Bial. I want to say Pep Bial.
Pep Bial?
Pep Bial.
Pep Bial. We got Pep!
It's not Pep. That Pep.
We signed Pep!
A nickname that you've mentioned that is pretty fucking cool is the Magician of Copenhagen.
The Magician of Copenhagen. He was shit in the German league for Augsburg. He didn't do much for Olympiakos in the Greek league, but 2 years ago he was amazing in the Danish league for Copenhagen. And when you think about Danish league players coming in and making an impact in MLS, you're thinking Evander for Portland Timbers, $10 million signing a couple years ago, who's been lights out for the Timbers. So there is a template for Pep Bial to come in and sign. But I got to say, John, I'm still not even certain that Pep Bial exists. Is he a real person? Is he just like a creative player that Zoran came up with in Football Manager 24 when everything else failed to pan out? I'm not 100% sure. I'm searching for an analogy here. You know I love my analogies. And my analogy is like, you know, like you ask out the head cheerleader, she says no. You ask out the head of the drill team, she says no. And it's like, well, I got to go to prom still, so I might as well just bring my sister. You know, like a loan deal for Pep Bial feels like taking your sister to prom. I don't know. Maybe Bial's going to be great. Maybe he's going to put some pep in our step. But like, it feels like a, fuck it, we got to sign somebody. Let's get this guy on loan who no one's ever heard of before.
Pep Bial clearly doesn't have his visa. Clearly has not made it to the United States yet. Clearly is not in training and will not be available for this team for at least another couple weeks. He's not playing on Saturday. 100% not playing against New York Red Bulls on Saturday.
I agree with that.
Will he play on Labor Day weekend?
I hope so.
That is the
big
question.
I really, really hope so.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't think that happens.
Because there's only 9 games left in the season, John. And
so, technically, there's 8.
For Pep Bial.
This is, like, legitimately a 7 or 8 game loan at the end of the season that does nothing for this club long term. And that's fine. And I have high hopes for this player to come in here. But
as they say, rule of thumb is 2 weeks from the signing. 2 weeks from the signing would actually be right at August 24th, home versus Red Bulls. We don't think Neither you nor I, nor probably anyone listening, thinks that Pep Biel is going to be ready for the Red Bulls.
If he is available, I wouldn't be shocked. If he gets a curtain call at the end of the match, I wouldn't be shocked.
No, but if he's available. Do you think he's going to be available?
Will he start and make an impact against Red Bull this Saturday? No
chance.
Fucking way.
A week later, we host Atlanta. It'd be nice.
That has to be the club's goal. The club has to be figuring out a way to get him over here.
I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm thinking to myself, if he's not here for Charlotte hosting Atlanta on August 31st, there's no way in hell he's getting a visa to go to Canada for the Montreal match 2 weeks later. There's also, by the way, we have a bye week on 9-7.
Oh, great.
We play 8-31. We have no game 9-7, and then we play 9-14, the next match in Montreal. He's probably not making it to Canada. Orlando, we play at Orlando on 9-18, a midweek game. If that's Pep's debut, then he's already missed 33% of the available games he would have had to him after the signing. So, I don't know. I mean, the club's trying to spin things as far as, oh, it's a loan deal. We can evaluate him. We can see if we actually want to sign him before we have to. And it's, again, a DP, a loner DP, it's like a loner Corvette. You know, like let's say you got a 2014 Corvette on a loan. Maybe it's nice, maybe it's great, but maybe it's not. Or a BMW, let's say.
Everybody knows leasing a vehicle is not a good deal.
Right, exactly. Unless you're going to get locked into a whole, like, lease all the time situation, for sure. So, I just think it's weird because obviously we would rather have a player that we felt good enough about to sign, like a Calvin Stengs, like a Miguel Almiron, to take that DP spot. To take a loner DP, sure, you can spin it and say, oh, well, it's an evaluation period. But if it's not going to be here for all nine games, and again, we assume some playoff matches for Charlotte FC, obviously, we're going to make the playoffs. It's about seeding more than anything else. So we could still finish ninth, potentially. But regardless of what is what, Pep Biel, is he going to get a fair evaluation period if he's not here for Red Bulls on August 24th?
And this is a good question, because I think the point you're trying to make is Charlotte FC is trying to decide whether they want to sign this guy to be its next designated player number 10.
Yeah.
And on a loan deal, you've got the ability to kind of make a decision. But
that's the pro.
But no, what I'm saying is it enough time? And I think that's what you're trying to get at here.
That's the con. Yeah.
Pep could potentially come in here and play 7.5 matches and do very, very well and have 0 goals and 2 assists. And then you got to decide if this guy's your DP number 10.
Speaking of 2 assists, Calvin Stengs had 2 assists on Saturday for Feyenoord and a goal on top of it. He had 3 goal contributions.
No way.
So whatever you want to say about Calvin Stengs' failed medical or his knee issues, he was match fit enough to go out there and contribute to 3 goals for Feyenoord on Saturday. So
I've heard some people talk about Calvin Stengs never wanting to come to Charlotte FC. And my rebuttal to that is, I know for a fact that Calvin Stengs went to bed one night thinking that he was going to go to MLS and be Charlotte FC's new designated player number 10.
Yep.
And then you know what happened next? He woke up the next morning.
Yeah, and he said, oh, shit.
And then he said, he slept on it and said,
yeah,
I'm not as sure. I'm going to go to the medical. And as soon as one thing popped up that made him feel unsure, he said, I'm going with my gut. I'm out.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with this.
And his statement was that he realized as he thought about it how much he loved being at Feyenoord and all that shit. But
absolutely not.
Like, the fact of the matter is, he was coming in to be, as we said in the last episode, prematurely as it turned out, but he was coming in to be one of the best 10 players in MLS.
So the question is, and you basically proposed this earlier on our rundown, and is how much responsibility does Zoran Crneta bear for this?
Well, this becomes the ultimate question. Because, like, listen, I talk to a lot of Charlotte FC fans. I'm in the conversations all the time. And I've said this before on the show recently. Like, I'm not an insider. I try, you know, at one point I fancied myself like trying to become an insider. It doesn't really work for me. What I do think I'm good at is reacting to what actually does happen. And so I don't have any secret knowledge. I don't have any like special connections or whatever. And that's fine. If you're coming here for special connections, you're in the wrong place. If you're coming here for Irish beers and talking shit and having a good time, you're in the right place. And what I've realized is no one has ridden harder for Zoran than me in the last couple of years. You know, Johnny, I ride hard for Zoran. I do the bit, you know, Zoran, adopt me, you know, make me your son, you know, like, we've interviewed Zoran on the show, we love him. Zoran burned me about the whole Swiderski thing in terms of, like, telling me that he would be super surprised if Swiderski came back, and then all of a sudden Swiderski came back, you know? So, like, I feel a little bit of a, I'm kind of peeved at Zoran for that. And when I look at the dude's entire body of work, I don't care if Calvin Stengs, quote-unquote, failed the medical. If he failed the medical, whatever. He fucking had 2 assists and a goal on Saturday. Whether he had a bad medical or not, he's clearly match fit enough to be playing soccer. I don't care if Almiron was just a pipe dream and it was never going to happen and our valuations were way off and the money offer was way off. I'm looking at the total body of work over 3 years. I'm looking at a guy that decided, let's give Christian Latanzio the keys to the fucking budget and let him go sign Enzo Capetti, who did not work out, whatever you want to think. I'm looking at, you know, yeah, he's had some nice pulls from, like, in terms of Milanda and Urinen and Byrne on the back line, but those guys were not, all those guys, all even Milanda struggled when he first got here. Those guys have been unlocked by good coaching, and especially Dean Smith making Urinen and Byrne better. Zoran right now, Zoran's kind of on my shit list right now, and no one has ridden harder for Zoran than me, but the guy, when you look at the total body of work, Zoran, you know, I know you're listening to this right now, Z-Man, and you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, Danny Brams is right, I have not done a good enough job.
Well, it's nothing new that Zoran Crneta is next man up.
Zoran will be fired long before Dean Smith is fired at this point.
And it's not because he's done such a poor job. It's just because, like,
he's done a mediocre job at best, is the issue.
Managers have been fired.
Yeah.
Presidents have been fired.
Cheers up. Sorry if I'm assuming too much there.
Assistant coaches have been fired.
Yeah.
We talked about David Tepper and his...
You can't fire David Tepper.
His nature is to start at this level, whether it's manager, and just keep firing people until it works out.
Right.
So next man up is Zoran Crneta. It just is what it is, right?
So I'm not saying, head's on the chopping block.
I'm not sitting here being like, fire Zoran Crneta. I really don't care because
I'm not either.
He is the next man up.
Yeah, I'm not either, but he is the next one to get fired, 100%.
So that's the point. Yeah. And
they're not going to fire Miles Joseph or Bobby Belair. They're going to fire Zoran Crneta.
So as I'm sitting here today hearing you talk and seeing how this transfer window went, it feels like a pretty fireable offense. Like if you're trigger happy, which David Tepper is,
right.
He loves to fire people.
Yeah. He loves to steal hats as well.
If he wants to get his fix, right. I mean, he's not going to fire Dave Canales year one.
Right.
And he's going to let the Panthers just be horrible this year, and it's a year one coach.
Yeah.
So there's nobody else for him to fire except for Zoran Crneta right now.
You talk about Calvin Stengs slept on it and decided he didn't want to be with MLS anymore. If David Tepper sleeps on it and decides he needs to make a move, we know whose heads will roll next.
That's my point.
And it's not, and like, I'll be honest with you. You can say that I'm just like talking shit from behind a microphone or whatever. That's bullshit, because if Zoran was sitting right here right now, I would tell him the same fucking thing to his face.
Well, he's a charismatic man.
I like the guy.
There's no doubt about it.
I love him.
He's a charismatic
man.
I'll
dap him up anytime, but his head's on the fucking chopping block.
And some of you may have, I guess, understood what I was doing during my analogy with the looking and the talking. And
we're looking. We're talking.
Some of you may have gotten that, but I'll spell it for you out now. Dean Smith, in his press conference last Thursday, said that we're looking and we're talking to the same players that we were looking and talking to when I was a manager in the Premier League, and that's a success.
Right.
It sounds good. But looking and talking are a lot different right. than signing.
Looking and talking doesn't mean you have fewer condoms in your drawer the next morning than you did the night before. That's all I'm going to fucking say.
David Tepper's not interested in looking and talking.
Not at all.
He doesn't get to talk or look to anybody. He gets to meet people who sign on the dotted line and say, welcome to my organization.
Exactly.
And if Zorn is not providing David Tepper with signees who make his business better, he will be fired.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And there's people who want to sit around and talk about,
oh, you can't blame Zorn. It's not his fault that the knee was rough and the medical didn't work. I mean,
it's not even opinion. That is an opinion. That is an opinion. Don't blame Zorn. What we're saying now is not even an opinion. It's just like the fact of the matter is Zorn's up next.
You got to blame somebody.
No, he's just next. He's next to go. We filed this.
He knows that too. When he wakes up in the morning, he knows that. We're not telling Zorn anything he doesn't fucking know.
We filed this project since day one. We've understand exactly how this project has gone now over 2.5-3 years, and we've reached a point in time where Zoran Crneta has proven to be a potential sporting director, general manager. He's already okay. I'll give you another analogy.
Please do.
You know, I work full time for Hotfly. You know, I work with a ton of restaurants.
Best beer in town, Hotfly.
I work with a ton of restaurants in town. And I learned this from Anthony Bourdain. And that is, the second you see a restaurant change its menu, that's when you know the restaurant is doomed.
Yeah.
The second Zoran Crneta and the front office got reorganized before this season with new titles.
Right.
That's when you probably should have fucking known that if he doesn't get this job done in this capacity, it's going to fail.
And the other thing is, if he felt confident in his position, he would not have gone for the emergency signing of Pep Biel to bring it full circle, which is like if he was like, we struck out on Stangs and Almiron, but we're good to go as we are. No. He was like, I gotta sign fucking somebody. Like, he's like, if I come back from my 2 weeks in London with nobody, even if it's a loan for a Spanish guy no one's fucking ever heard of, then I'm in big trouble. So he's like, Pep Biel, let's go get him, you know?
This all said, I am still very, very interested to see what Pep does for this club.
Sure.
But
you know how this is?
I feel the same way that I did last week. And the reason why is because you sent me the team's PR release about the signing of number 10, Brett Diagra.
Yeah. That was what... Yeah. So Diagra leaves, and everyone's like, I want to check the news on Diagra. You know, he's going to KV Kortrijk, you know, or whatever in the Belgian League. And I said, you know what? I don't want to read about Brett Diagra in 2024. I want to read about Brett Diagra in 2023 when he came to Charlotte. And the hype and the spin of the way that the club was trying to sell the Diagra signing back when it happened, it's like just... I might post it on... we should post it on our social accounts because, like, it's like... It's funny how hard the club was trying to sell this guy as, like, the solution to all our problems, and he turned out not to be able to make the starting lineup within a few months.
I never, ever, ever blame the club for trying to sell tickets. Ever.
That's their business. It's a business.
But you can spin, zone, everything in professional sports. The only thing that matters is results.
Yeah.
If you do not get results, if you do not sign players who are interesting to watch, if you do not put out a product on the field that is entertaining, then you will not sell tickets.
And what's the first thing Brett Diagra did memorably once he got here? Was concede a penalty that cost us points in the stoppage time.
He did have that scorpion kick.
He had the scorpion kick, but that was an insurance goal that we didn't even fucking need. Like, you know, that was not a match winner.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's tough to really feel good about Brett Diagra's tenure in Charlotte FC. And I, again, like I'll eat the crow, I'll mea culpa the whole time because I want this club to be good, and I've sung the praises of Brecht. And I said in our preseason show, I said Brecht was going to be our most important player, and I said he was going to be our number 10 that fucking dominated and like took us to the next level. And I was wrong about that, and I'm not ever afraid to admit when I'm wrong.
Well, I was wrong too. If you go back to the preseason,
yeah.
Preview episode,
which you should. That helps the metrics.
I don't care about the metrics at all.
I'm
just saying that's the second episode in a row you said that. I just want to make it very clear to our listeners that we do not care about the metrics.
It's a bit.
Okay, now people know. if you think about it, like I chose Enzo Capetti as this season's MVP.
Right.
And you chose Brecht Diagne as this season's MVP.
And neither of them are with the club anymore. in the home stretch of the season, they've both been shipped out. Yeah. Amazing. Brutal.
It's tough. It's tough. And that's just the reality of the situation. So, I mean, do you have any insight about Pep that our listeners can kind of maybe sink their teeth into and kind of feel as if this could be an impact signing? Do you have any insight?
There's another Spanish number 10 who didn't quite hit the heights in Europe but had some good moments, who's now one of the best players in MLS, and that's Carlos Hill. And in a beautiful, perfect world that I'm not even sure if we live in this world, but it's a multiverse that exists somewhere, and maybe we can get there. Pep Biel comes in and plays heel style ball where he's just a beautiful number 10 that I've heard this quote, he's going to unlock Swiderski, he's going to unlock Abada, he's going to unlock Kerwin Vargas, he's going to be the guy feeding these other attackers the ball where they need it most to dominate. And in a beautiful world, in a perfect situation, whether it's the last 9 matches or the last 5.5 matches, who fucking knows? But maybe Pep Biel comes in and has a heel-like impact in terms of he just clicks in MLS and his game is suited enough to know. The thing of it is that Carlos Hill always has the ball at his feet. Is Dean Smith's coaching going to be the type of game plan that says, hey, everybody just get Pep Biel the ball? I'm not sure because I don't even know when he's going to arrive at training. There's open training for Charlotte FC later this week. We hope that Pep Biel's there when we go. We're going to be there on Wednesday and Thursday. We don't know for sure. I'll be there. Will Pep be there? As Coolio once sang, I'll see you when you get there. If you ever get there.
Well, the good news is, all this transfer drama has felt a little bit underwhelming. The good news is, Charlotte FC has signed Tim Ream, the center back from Fulham, a club legend, a United States men's national team player who's in this squad officially, who's been training with the squad now for a couple weeks, who, in my opinion, will start on Saturday against New York Red Bull. So when you start thinking about that, right, it starts to feel a little bit better. But then the club puts Tim Ream out there, and Tim Ream has a press conference, and he says some strange things about his relationship with Captain Ashley Westwood that I know rub some people the wrong way. If you haven't seen that, make sure you go to our YouTube page, Charlotte Soccer Show on YouTube. You can see a great episode of Decoding the Presser. Danny, you did that. Tim Ream had his press conference last Thursday. And you had some really interesting thoughts.
If you don't want to watch the entire Decoding the Presser episode, go to our Instagram page, Charlotte Soccer City. We posted a reel of just kind of the most interesting thing that Ream said from that presser, which was a 40-minute presser. And if you boil it down to 1 minute, he basically said, yeah, Ashley Westwood is an English joker who never works out, and I decided to get in his grill about it. Like, it's insane. The fact that Ream would come in and like take shots at the captain in his intro presser, maybe he doesn't feel he did that, but that's the interpretation that I had, is that he was taking shots. And I know Westwood doesn't give a fuck. Westwood has proven himself way more in both the Premier League and MLS than Ream ever did. But I also felt a little bit like an asshole myself because like Ream just kept talking about, oh, this was the right move for my family. This was the right move for my family. This was the right move for my family. And I have a family, and I will make decisions based on like what my family needs. But as a fan, as a major fan of Charlotte FC, I don't give a fuck about any of these guys' families. I care about what they are going to do on the soccer pitch. So it was a little bit disheartening for me that Ream was constantly talking about how this was a family move, not necessarily a football move. And he also, but he also had the cockiness in him to be like, yeah, I can teach Privet a few things. I can teach Milanda a few things. Oh, I can get Westwood in the weight room. Like, it was kind of like, Ream hasn't proven anything on this club. And I get that he was a valued member of an English Premier League club and all that. But like, for me, it's Privet mode for Ream, for my, in my book.
I hear you saying all that, and you know, as somebody that knows you really well, I hear you say that you don't care about these players' families. And what I hear you saying is that when it comes to professional performance, the family doesn't necessarily play a role into that. Of course you want all these players' families to be healthy, to be happy, and to be enjoying life.
I've said on the show before, like, we got to treat these guys as humans. They're more than just players. But there's a part of me. I'm just talking as a Charlotte FC fan that shows up and pays money to go to every fucking game. I care about your football more than your family. And it would have been nice. Like, I actually have no problem if Ream is, like, telling the front office as he's signing, he's like, I'm so happy to be here. My family's going to love it here. That's great. But you don't need to say that over and over and over again at your intro press conference. Like, just lie to me. Lie, as Chris Rock said, lie to me, Jerry. Lie to me. You know, like, tell me that all you give a fuck is about is getting this team to win MLS Cup, this, even if you don't really year. Believe it, you know? That's all.
I think it's my, this is just my opinion. I thought Tim Ream came off unbelievably arrogant in that press conference.
Agreed.
I think that he has Greg Berhalter's stink all over him.
That's brutal. But
I think that
that's an indictment.
The United States men's national team is in such disarray because people like Tim Ream couldn't fucking get it right.
Right.
And
he had good, he had some decent performances for the national team, but it's one of the worst eras the national team's ever gone through.
But I'll remind you of this. He did have 300 appearances for Fulham Football Club.
Craven Cottage, baby. Let's go. Again, in our last episode that we talked, I said, I love the Tim Ream signing in the context of we're also bringing in Calvin Stengs as a DP. Now that Calvin Stengs isn't coming anymore, I'm back to my, like, Ream is our marquee signing. What the fuck?
The Ream signing feels very similar to every signing that Zoran Kroneta has made. Middle 30s.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the career.
Right.
Comes from a European league and gets into the squad. Let's name those players. Nathan Byrne.
Well, who struggled very early, but now has become... Nathan Byrne, credit to Nathan Byrne, he worked his ass off to become an integral player. But the first month and a half of Nathan Byrne was rough sledding.
Christian Fuchs.
Who?
Ashley Westwood.
El Capitan. No beef with him. Diagra.
Breck Diagra.
Right.
These are the type of signings that have come into this club, except for Westwood, right? Westwood's a total outlier in this situation.
Right. And he was also signed in the winter window, not the summer.
There was a joke. Oh, another 35-year-old midfielder for Charlotte FC, right? There's just jokes about this.
Exactly, yep.
And it just, the Ream signing is just normal for Charlotte FC.
Right.
What wasn't going to be normal was going after someone like Calvin Stengs, going after somebody like Miguel Almiron. Instead, we end up like with a no-name player from Olympiacos, who could be really good or could legitimately do nothing.
Who literally has like two goals since the start of 2023. I mean, no shade to, I know the Greek league is low scoring, but like Pep Biel is not an offensive mastermind outside of the Danish league where in 2022 when he shined.
Well, this guy's good. You know why? He's the magician of Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And he's pulled off, I think, what you would call the ultimate feat. He's made his goals disappear.
Right. Can he pull a rabbit out of a hat and get us into the top four seed? Who knows?
Who knows what he's going to pull off next? Yeah, what kind of magic trick he's got up his sleeve?
He may saw our playoff chances in half. You never know, you know?
So, you know, a lot of this episode so far has been a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Because we're having fun, we're drinking beer, we're having a good time, but we're just trying to get, like, have a real conversation about Charlotte FC.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't get it twisted. We're fans and we want to see things go, and we're going to get shortly to the question of, out of 9 games left, how many points is Charlotte FC going to get, and how many do we need to get that top 4 seed? I would venture to say a win over Red Bulls is a must to get a top 4 seed because they're currently ahead of us. If we don't beat them, we probably won't get a top 4.
Well, let's answer that question after we answer this question. I tease it off the top.
I love it.
I said, and we'll do this very quickly, because I think I have a one-word answer. The League's Cup is going on. That's why we're not playing any MLS games right now. Does anyone care about the League's Cup?
League's Cup is a messy.
My answer is no.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that. It just says, to me, this is not registering on the Richter scale.
No.
There's no pulse in this League's Cup. And without Messi and Inter Miami, it's a total fucking bomb.
Year one of League's Cup was way better than year two. And that's a bad trajectory. We'll see what year three brings. It's not going away anytime soon. And I don't want to get into the whole League's Cup versus Open Cup thing, because the Open Cup has not really covered itself in glory this year either. But neither of these midseason cups are really doing it for us this year at all.
We're going to look at Charlotte FC's 9-game schedule coming out of this break. Of course,
it starts with New York Red Bulls
this Saturday at the Fortress. Going to be a great game. We're going to discuss that. We're going to answer Danny's question. Of the 27, how many points? I'm just going to give a little spoiler. I think it's just about half. We'll go through the schedule. We'll talk about who this team is playing over the final 9 weeks of the season. And we'll get into the discussion that is pretty real. Can Charlotte FC win a trophy this year? It feels way, way out of grasp. Is it out of grasp for the Carolina Ascent? I've got a hot take about that. I've got a bold take about the Carolina Ascent.
Love it.
We're going to discuss that. We're here at Belfast Mill.
We need some more beers, though, Johnny, before we talk about any of that.
In the French Quarter, in Lada Arcade. We're so happy to be here. And I want to especially thank
Brian Wolf.
A great friend of the show. Thank you so much. Brian Wolf is here. He's treated us so well at Belfast Mill.
The Wolf.
We were here to watch the Tottenham match, the Leicester City Tottenham match.
Amazing.
Earlier today, had a great time. It was a 1-1 draw. Fun little soccer match. A great way to cap off the Premier League weekend. Had a great time chatting with Ryan, hanging out with some Spurs fans, and just celebrating the beautiful game here in the French Quarter. It's always celebrated here. It's so nice to see. And we're going to be back.
Soccer soul of the city.
We're going to be back. We're going to get one more beer. We're going to come back. We're going to look at the schedule. And we're going to talk about the Ascent. And we're going to take a look at the Independents as well. Because
we're top of the league. We're top of the league. Independence. We're top of the league.
We're back on Charlotte Soccer Show, and Danny, I've got to tell you that of all the places that we have recorded in town, there's something about Belfast Mill that just makes me feel right at home.
I'm feeling great here. We're kind of tucked in a little corner here. If you've ever been to the Belfast, it's a back corner. It just feels great. Like, the bartender is nice. The bar Courtney. Manager is nice.
Shout out to Courtney.
Things are really nice. And I don't know. I've just been drinking beer all day, so it kind of feels good. You know? What can I say?
They celebrate firefighters in here. They celebrate being Irish in this pub.
Yeah, it reminds me of being in Ireland this time last year.
And it just feels like a place that you could show up and have a good time anytime. And the reason why, and what I really appreciate about Irish pubs, is that in America we think about places like this and they're called bars, or they're called pubs. But the real ones know what it actually is a public house.
Yeah, yeah.
Public house. You just kind of show up here.
We're making friends.
And everybody just hangs out.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the vibe
you
here.
You start a conversation with someone you don't even know just because, you see that you're both of like mind. It's great.
And you live in the same community.
You're looking, you're talking. It's beautiful.
Looking, talking, signing loan deals. That's what this club is doing. One thing I want to say, Danny, to you, before we get into our points discussion, just before we look at this nine games, I want to tell you this. I firmly believe that Charlotte's run of poor professional sport display, if you will, year after year after year, it's almost been 10 years since Charlotte has had a real contender.
Since the Super Bowl.
It's almost been 10 years.
Since Cam Newton stormed out of that press conference.
The Carolina ascent. What is happening? And I've seen this before outside of the realm of sports. What's happening right in front of our eyes is that these women are coming together to simply say one thing. If y'all can't get it done, we fucking will.
Right, exactly, exactly.
I truly believe that the Carolina Ascent is going to win the USL right. Super League Championship in year one.
Leave it to the women yet again.
I believe it with my full heart that they are coming here into this town to launch the club and say, fuck it, if you men can't do it, we're going to do it ourselves.
Yeah. They looked really good, Johnny. I know, people might judge us for this, but you had family things going on this weekend. I did not go to the match because I didn't feel they needed me. Like, I went to the Fan Fest. I took part in the festivities. I had a great time at the Fan Fest. And I would have bought a ticket if it wasn't sold out. But a few hours before the match, they're like, hey, we're sold out. So I was like, all right, they don't need me. Like, I'm going to go in match two, match three, match four when they need more people. Because there was a lot of hype around this first match. So, like, people can judge us for not going, but, like, it is what it is. It was just one of those weekends. I don't think they will, but I'm just saying. Like, again, I plan to see plenty of Carolina Ascent matches this year. You don't have to worry about that. I'm part of the Base Camp, which is a really awesomely named supporters group. We interviewed Amanda Vandervoort, the president of the USL Super League, on the show.
You did. Great interview.
We interviewed Philip Poole. I saw Amanda at Hot Fly. I saw Amanda at Hot Fly on Saturday, and it was great to see her.
There was like a pregame VIP.
Yeah, there was a pregame VIP.
Did you talk to her when you were there?
I did, of course.
Oh, fantastic.
I said, great to see you. She did it. Great to see you. It was a beautiful thing. It was just a celebration of soccer and women's sports in the city. It was awesome. And everybody that went had a great time. I'm going to be going to plenty of matches, like I said. And a win is nice. And they showed what they're capable of. And they put together a good team. They have a pedigreed coach, Philip Poole. I think it's only great things for the Carolina Ascent coming up in 2024-25.
You can judge me if you want for not going. But let me tell you this, as a married man, your wedding anniversary is pretty important. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to stay married?
Exactly. Yeah.
Make sure you celebrate the anniversary.
Maybe a trip out of town works.
And that's what I was doing this weekend. So that's just ultimately...
But they got the W. And they pleased all the fans, and there was a lot of kids in the stands and the audience. And also, you know, to bring it kind of full circle, Charlotte is a soccer city. Ashley Westwood was at the Fan Fest.
He was meeting,
greeting fans. So many fans that came out to see the Carolina Ascent also got a taste of Charlotte FC. That's pretty badass. It was a special, special night.
You know who had a ton of hype around its launch and didn't score a goal in its inaugural match?
Who? Who's that, John?
I don't know. But Carolina Ascent did.
Yeah.
For that, I think they should be celebrated. I think Philip Poole is an absolutely phenomenal manager, and I cannot wait to see this season roll on. And I cannot wait to see what the Carolina Ascent can do for this city and
together
for this town.
Climb.
And together we are going to climb on this show. I'll be there on Sunday. I know you're hoping to be there on Sunday. It's the second match.
My plan is to be
there
on
weekend.
Sunday, yes.
We'll see what happens as the week rolls on. But
tickets pretty affordable, too, like $15. Not bad.
It's a great time. Yeah. So I just wanted to get that on the record. Also want to just mention, we talked about the Independents being top of the league.
Yeah.
Mike Jeffries. Again,
right.
Continuing to peak his team at the right time.
Exactly. Like, he has a very good way of getting a team to be playing their best soccer at the most important time of the year.
And this happens to be Charlotte FC's biggest time of the year. Can Dean Smith do the same thing? We're going to look at these nine games. We're going to talk about them and kind of give our listeners and give people a realistic look into what is possible over this next. The final game of the season is October
19th. Yeah.
Day off. 19th. October 19th.
Let me give you a quick rundown, then we'll dig a little deeper, all right? home versus Red Bulls, home versus Atlanta, at Montreal, at Orlando, home versus New England, at Miami, home versus Chicago, home versus Montreal, at DC. That's the run out.
A lot of matches against against teams who we are fighting with in the East.
Well, they're below teams that are below us in the standings. The only ones that are ahead of us in the standings currently that we play are Miami and Red Bulls.
That's why I used the phrase fighting.
Yeah,
these teams that we're playing are going to be fighting.
Right. If we go on a losing streak, then we're going to get jumped, which is not good. But having said that, I look at this Red Bulls match that's coming up next, and I look at Charlotte FC's history versus Red Bulls, right? Because this team has been a bugaboo. They've been a thorn in our side. Go back to the Open Cup match in May of 2022, the first time we faced them. And
cheers, Brian.
All I can say, what's up, Brian Wolf? How you doing, brother? So here's our match history versus Red Bulls. Loss on the road, win at home. Loss on the road, draw at home, draw on the road, loss on the road in the 5-2 playoff match last year, and then we lost to them on the road again in May of this year. So we only have one win in history against the Red Bulls in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches in all competitions. And as I said before we hit the break here, Johnny, if you look at the standings, the Red Bulls are ahead of us in the Eastern Conference standings by 4 points with the same number of matches played. For us to finish in the top four, I think we're going to have to beat Red Bulls on Saturday. I don't know if we can do it. I'll be honest. Like, I'm optimistic about our run out here the last 9 games. I will predict a higher point total than you, I'm pretty sure. But I'm not very optimistic about this specific Saturday. It's going to be a surprise to me if we're able to beat Red Bulls this Saturday. It just is.
I appreciate you being realistic about the Red Bull rivalry and how they've absolutely kicked our ass.
Yeah.
Because we'll boast about the NYCFC situation, but when you cross the Hudson River, when you get on the other side of the state, or the other side of the region,
go down to New Jersey, we take the path to Hoboken, and then get on the NJ Transit over to Secaucus. Yeah.
The Red Bulls have been a massive thorn, like you said, in Charlotte FC's side. So for me, I'm not going to give you my point total. I want you to give me yours first, because I'm going to draft off of that. But what I'll say this to start this conversation is, in the next 5 matches, I think there's a realistic chance that Charlotte FC loses 4 of them.
All right. Here's what I'm going to go game by game. I'm not just going to come up with some a vague, amorphous, ambiguous point total that doesn't really take into account the actual results, which is what a lot of preseason forecasters do in college football. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, every team in the SEC is going to win 9 games. No, that doesn't work. You got to predict game by game. You got to actually figure it out. So I'm going to go game by game here. I'm going to say loss at home versus the Red Bulls. That's 0 points. I'm going to say win at home against Atlanta. That's 3 points. I'm going to say win on the road at Montreal, a rare road win in Canada. I think we're going to be sitting at 6 points in 3 weeks from now. I'm going to say draw on the road at Orlando, where all of a sudden we're at 7 points. I'm going to say win at home versus New England, give us 10 points. I'm going to say loss at Inter Miami. I'm not sure if Messi will be healthy for that game or not. That's a long ways away. That's literally a month away from today. I'm going to say it's still a loss. We're still sitting on 7 points. I'm going to say we beat Chicago at home for 10. I'm going to say we beat Montreal at home. We beat them on the road. We might as well beat them at home as well for 13. And I'm going to say we, DC United with nothing to play for, we beat them in their house. As long as the Washington, D.C. is not under lockdown and they're, you know, preventing all people from coming into town 2 weeks before presidential election, I'm going to say we finished with 16 out of 27 points. Where do I think that'll get us?
Well, that gets you to 53
overall.
That
gets us to 53. I'm going to say that we end up finishing 5th with 53 points.
Well,
we will not host a home playoff series, but we'll be in a playoff series. And we'll have one home game.
I can add some context to this.
Please do.
Thanks to our friends over at SoberScore. 53 points would have been good for 6th place last season in 2023. And into 2022, 53 points would have been good enough for tied for fourth place.
Right.
Which is two pretty good finishing positions, especially.
And it's getting tougher.
So those 53 points.
I think we finished 53 in fifth place.
What was the point total again?
16 out of 27.
16 out of 27.
53 on the season, fifth place. That's what I think.
I'm going to go.
Hopefully playing in NYC, not Red Bulls.
I'm going to go through this list a different way. I'm not going to go through the schedule. I'm going to tell you which games I think Charlotte FC wins.
You said four losses already.
I said could lose four games.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Thank you. I like when you do that. I hate when you do that. In fact, it really pisses me off when you do that. You put words in my mouth.
I'm just jamming after the Strokes over here. I don't know if the microphone is picking up the music here at Belfast Mill, but they're playing some good tunes.
Okay.
People they don't understand. Your girlfriends they won't understand. Your spaceships they don't understand. And on top of this, I ain't ever gonna understand.
Okay. These two home matches coming up, I think winning one of two is certainly possible. So I'm going to say one win in the next two matches.
We'll beat Atlanta at home. They got nobody.
I don't disagree with that, but it's a derby game. It'll be a big match for them.
Danny Rios.
They've got nothing to play for.
Danny Rios.
It could potentially be a draw.
Game.
It could be a draw.
Yikes. We're fucked if that happens, by the way. But yeah, keep going.
So I'm just
going
to say one win in those two home games. I don't think we beat Montreal on the road. This team has just struggled north of the border. I don't expect that to just all of a sudden...
Is everybody vaccinated?
Don't expect that to happen. Not the vaccination, but the win. At Orlando, I just... When you look at the current standings and you see Orlando hanging out in the number seven spot, 3 points.
Everything to play for. They got a lot of firepower with Facundo Torres, for sure.
Like,
I don't see a win at Orlando. Draw was optimistic for me on that when I called it a draw.
I am not predicting a win in that match. I can't do it. I will predict a win against New England.
Dog shit. It's a shame we didn't win at New England earlier this year because they're dog shit.
So that's 6 points from wins in the next five matches. That's two wins out of five that I would say right now I feel good about. Next match, Inter Miami. I think Charlotte beats Chicago. We're up to nine.
Right, Shaqiri is gone. The only good player Chicago had is gone now.
Back to the Swiss League.
Yeah, FC Basel, looking bored and plump.
Our great friend Brett Thompson's favorite new team.
I gotta just say about this real quick. Just a quick aside. Shaqiri's official, like, I just signed with FC Basel picture, he was wearing jeans.
He's like, I'm home. I'm relaxing. I'm good.
Ridiculous.
I don't mind wearing jeans if they're dark jeans. Dark jeans kind of look...
They were dark jeans with a Basel kit.
I don't mind that. Like, I think dark jeans look good.
Lounging on a beanbag or something like that, yeah.
Montreal at home, DC United away, the last two games. I think there's one win in those two matches. I think there's one win in those two
Thunder
matches.
Thunder rolls and the lightning strikes.
So that's up to 12. So I'm up to, that's four wins I've predicted. That's four wins that I've predicted. That's 12 points.
I got five wins and a draw.
So I'm almost there with you. I mean, the schedule sets up where four or five wins in the next nine games is there.
Yeah.
It's there for the taking.
Yeah.
I think draws.
Probably neither of us will be 100% correct. I mean, this is...
I'm not worried about being 100% correct. Let me promise you that.
I never have been on the history of this show.
What I'm trying to say is that if this team can win 4 of 9 and then draw 3 more,
sure. What I'm gonna
the team will be in the playoffs, and they won't host 2 of 3.
But they'll host again.
They'll host
a home playoff match.
Game.
Yeah, for sure.
That to me. Yeah. Feels realistic looking at this, but I also think this could go horribly wrong.
If it goes horribly wrong, we're in the 8-9 game. I don't. I would be I would be shocked if Charlotte FC doesn't make the playoffs at this point. Just if you look at the point totals, it would be an epic disaster, and we would be like burning Pet BL effigies out in front of Bank of America Stadium.
This is why I think it could go horribly wrong, right? And I'm gonna lay that. I'm not predicting this at all. We're talking. We're having fun.
We're just having a good time. Having a great time talking about how Charlotte FC is not going to make the playoffs, you know?
Because you could counter all this, and I would say, yeah, maybe that'll happen too.
Sure. It's all to play for.
So I'll go with the negative side first. Has Karol Swiderski helped this club by coming back? Or has he caused changing room issues? Is Patrick Aujamon kind of pissed off about it? And is there kind of this feeling about the number 9 position? Like, what the fuck, dude? I thought you were never coming back. Go leave.
Right.
Like, we didn't want you back. And why are you here?
Two people that thought Karol Swiderski was never come back. Aujamon and me. For sure.
Pep comes in here and the visa takes a while.
Now, Pep... who is Pep again? Remind me, because I'm completely drawing a blank here.
I think he's a real person. I haven't seen him in... I think he's a real person.
Now, is he created in FIFA or in Football Manager 24? I'm trying to figure out which one Zoran created him from.
He comes in here and takes forever to get the visa across. He never really acclimates to the squad.
The rule of thumb is 2 weeks.
Never acclimates to the squad. And all of a sudden... Westwood is like basically fighting for the ball,
right?
Because Pep is begging for the ball, right. And it's just not. And there's just no chemistry whatsoever.
Tim Ream refuses to pass to Westwood, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Tim Ream gets put at the center back, left center back position,
right?
And the young guys on the club are looking at Dean like, "What the fuck?"
Right.
Andrew Pripp has been great all season.
Never did anything wrong. Yeah.
I'm concerned about the chemistry, Danny. Am I the only one kind of seeing this play out?
I don't think you're the only one. I know there's people out there listening to this right now that are like, what the fuck is going on with the chemistry of this team?
It was in such a good place.
Yeah.
And it's not anymore.
Well, it's a challenge for Dean Smith. It's like Dean has cleared every hurdle so far in terms of what he needs to do to make this club click and work. And it's like all of a sudden they just said, here's 10 more hurdles, bro. Go jump these ones as well.
It's just... And again, I want to underscore, there's only 9 games left.
Right.
Like, that to me is the...
Plus playoffs.
Of course. But that to me is like, to develop chemistry with your number 10.
Right.
To develop chemistry with your new center back pairing.
Right.
Like, you want to not be doing that.
To not destroy Patrick Aujamon's spirit, you know?
Yeah, like, you don't want to be doing that with 9 games left.
No, you don't. You definitely don't.
It just, to me, it feels like I was so ready to ride with Pat as the striker.
I know you were.
With Milanda and Privet as the center back pairing. With Brant Veronica starting every match. I was just ready to ride.
Milanda and Privet center back pairing has played every match, started every match this year, and conceded the second least goals in all of MLS. Why would you bring in a 37-year-old center back? Soon to be 37 in a couple weeks. He's 36 now, I know. Don't fact check me on that, you motherfuckers.
I'll fact check you on that.
I misspoke, okay? What can I say?
I mean, think about it that way, right? Where it's like, that's the one thing that I am, like, seriously concerned about, is that if this thing could go wrong, it's because...
It could go sideways.
New people in.
Right.
And it's all up to Dean Smith. So they Dean,
up,
we
they,
trust.
They up to the degree of difficulty for Dean with 20% of the season left to go.
Well, and here's the thing about trusting Dean, right? Leicester
Dino's
City.
Dino's at the wheel.
Leicester City trusted Dean.
Yeah.
Norwich City trusted Dean.
Yeah.
Didn't work out for either of those clubs.
Both of those were tough situations. Those were rescue jobs.
And what is this?
This is a little bit more of a position of strength. This is not clubs that are already in the relegation zone trying to stay up. This is a team that's in a strong playoff position trying to improve it.
The club's job was to bring in a catalyst
right.
to take this team to the next level.
And it should have happened in the beginning of the window, not the end.
Instead, they brought in a guy who's been here, that didn't want to be here anymore, who just happened to have to come back.
Right. Who had took no over other
our,
options.
Who took over our star young striker spot. Right. An old center back, and a guy that hasn't scored a goal.
We've stunted the growth of both Ajimong and Privet, who are both doing completely fine in their jobs. And we brought in a guy that no one's ever fucking heard of.
Okay, well, here's the thing. No. And I think they're both doing fine in their jobs, but Ajimong and Privet in 2024, they were never going to win Charlotte the MLS Cup. But this is what I'm telling you. Kyle Swiderski and Tim Ream, they're not going to win Charlotte FC the MLS Cup either.
Exactly. They're just going to stunt the growth and prohibit the development. So let's wrap this episode because it's been a great episode, Johnny. I cheers you. I cheers you again. We're drinking Irish beers. We're having a grand old time at Belfast Mill. Put a number. What's Charlotte FC's chance to win a trophy this year?
Percentage-wise? 0%.
I'm going to say 15%.
Because the only trophy left is MLS Cup.
Yeah.
Have you seen the other rosters in this league?
We're built for the playoffs, dude. We don't concede very many goals.
I agree. And I think that only gets you to the semifinals.
Sure.
I don't think that gets you into the finals. And I don't
defense
think
wins championships.
MLS Cup was never going to be the first trophy this club won. It was going to be Open Cup. It was going to be Leagues Cup. It was going to be Community Shield, the game that doesn't exist. Oh, by the way, Independence and Charlotte FC, I heard, played a closed-door scrimmage.
I would give anything to know what happened in that closed-door friendly that they played last Saturday.
The reason why Charlotte...
By the way, Westwood was at the Ascent game. He clearly didn't participate in the closed-door friendly.
No, they and there was a bunch of guys at the Panthers game that night, too.
Yeah,
but they didn't play
at
night. They probably played early in the day.
Yeah, but...
They probably played at like 10 a.m.
What do you think was your starting 11 for the closed-door friendly against Independence?
For FC?
Yeah. And how involved was Bill Tuoloma?
Bill played all 90.
Love you, Bill.
Jay Lindsay got some minutes, too.
Bill, I'll tell you what. Say what you want about Bill, but he's directly led to points this year, which not many players can say, with that long assist to Ajimong against Columbus.
Yeah, just a beautiful ball. That ball is still floating out there somewhere. Yeah. I think it just got past Mars's gravitational pull, and it's heading out to the next planet.
I would have canceled the Ream signing as soon as that ball left Bill's foot. Let's just be honest. But yeah.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. We're so happy to be here at Belfast Mill. We're so looking forward to the remainder of the Charlotte FC season. Right. We're looking forward to the inaugural Carolina Ascent season. And personally, I'm looking forward to the Charlotte Independence potentially hosting the USL League One Championship match.
They got all the way to the title match last year. They had to play it on the road, and they didn't pull it off. They lost in penalties. This is the year to, like, you know how it's an NBA thing where it's like you have to get to the finals before you can win the finals?
Yes.
It could play out that way for Independence this year, for sure.
It's Gabrielle Obertan. The thing that blew my mind is that I've always considered Gabrielle Obertan the Independence number 10, the Independence do-it-all man that played for Manchester United, that's 35 years old. I've always considered him as somebody that was, like, way too old for Charlotte FC.
I know, but...
But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, man, he probably would have helped Charlotte FC be more of a professional club.
Definitely 2 years ago, and even this year, I think he could have, for sure. And if people that are listening to this, if you made it all the way to the end of the episode, we thank you. We love you.
Yeah, cheers.
Rate and review. I know John doesn't give a fuck about the metrics, but reviews are nice for us to get some feedback. Whether you don't even have to rate us, just review us. But just tell us why we're good and why we're bad. But if you think we've been too negative, just know that we love soccer in Charlotte. We love the Ascent. We love the Independence. We love FC. We want everyone to be good. And we've been taking the piss a little bit, having some beers on a beautiful Monday afternoon. And we're just trying to be real. We're not trying to put on our rose-colored glasses and just like, oh, everything's fine. Pep Biel is going to come in and be amazing. Like, upside, he could be Carlos Hill. Downside, you're never going to hear from him again. So it's like the range is there, you know?
Thank goodness for the ladies. The women, 10,000 fans, inaugural win, coming back this Sunday, given us a bit of a spark during a time where we really, really needed it.
And I want to see at least 5,000 of those people come back. I know it's tough to duplicate the first match, I get it, but like, we gotta see, like, again, I would have gone to the Ascent match. I went to the Fan Fest. I participated in everything, but they didn't need my ticket last time. They were gonna sell out regardless. I will be there on Sunday for the second match. I'll be bringing my daughter. It's gonna be great. And it's the second match. It's the third match. It's the fourth match that's gonna turn Ascent into a success. And people need to show up and show out.
They do. He's Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. This is Charlotte Soccer Show. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I'm so glad that we're recording this on a Monday, because this is going to hold up all week. You know, so whether you're listening to this on a commute on Tuesday, or you're listening on Friday afternoon on your way home, or even Saturday before the match, so very much appreciate all of our listeners. And
we might be bringing back a Saturday pregame. We might have to do a Saturday pregame from Hot Fly if schedules all coalesce. Yeah, it could happen.
It could happen.
We've heard the feedback from fans of the show, tremendous friends of our show, who want to see more of our Saturday pregames. We kind of got away from that, which was going strong preseason. We're going to get back to it at some point, whether it's this Saturday or next. There will be more pregame matches, pregame shows for sure.
It will definitely not be the Labor Day weekend match, because my ass is not going to be in town for that one. So it's going to be this weekend or not the next.
Yeah, against New England maybe.
I'm down for this Saturday. I think it'd be. Yeah. I'll definitely be at Hotline before the match.
So we may fire up the old live stream. You never know. Follow us on YouTube, Charlotte Soccer Show. We're there. We need more subscribers.
Subscribe,
please fucking subscribe. I need to have more subscribers on the Charlotte Soccer Show YouTube than Mr. Beast has.
You know Mr. Beast is like a North Carolina business?
He's losing subscribers.
But you know he's a North Carolina business?
Good for him. I hope he's paying taxes. I didn't know that, but yeah, I hope he's paying taxes.
Doing business for the state. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Instagram.
17 tangents later. Let's wrap this bitch up.
Charlotte Soccer City on Instagram. Charlotte Soccer Show on YouTube. And For the Crown Baby on X. I know you've been posting to X. Yeah. I haven't been on X in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure.
We might delete the X account. You never know.
So many listeners.
Get there while you can.
So many listeners have followed us on X. I'm telling you, our days there are numbered.
Yeah.
We're heading to Instagram. We are heading to YouTube.
Because the truth is, we don't give a... Like, John, like I joked about this earlier, we really don't give a fuck about the metrics. We care about the audience and having the content and making it... If it's good, you'll follow it. It doesn't fucking matter.
Right. We've had such a great time. And I almost feel like when you move on to... When you decide AX isn't the platform for us anymore, right? You don't... You're not upset because it didn't work out, right? You're just happy because of all the good people you've met through that platform and the community we try to create.
And we are on Threads. We're on Threads, IG, YouTube. That's all we need.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm John Hayes. He's Danny Brams. And as always,
together we climb, baby.